When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
It is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Very special WIP Afternoon Show all day. It is Birds at the Half, Chickies in South Philly. You can join us this evening for a special guest bartending event with Lane Johnson. It benefits the Travis Mannion Foundation. That starts at 6. Ike, you will be guest bartending as well.
Yeah, shout him up!
Howard, are you guest bartending?
I'm going back to practice to listen to...
Oh, come on!
Wow.
I'm going back to the locker room and listen to Jalen's words of wisdom.
Okay, well, he wants to be insider of the year.
Make sure you ask him about the defense. That's all he cares about.
Who, Jalen?
Yeah.
He does talk about
the defense. Dude, if you don't ask him about like the Rams defense, he goes, he shuts the press conference down.
He does.
Because he doesn't want to give an indication of what they've seen so they know that he...
No.
Looks for that.
No, he wants you to ask him about the Rams defense.
Yes, he wants you to ask him.
Because it shows how much he's been studying.
Oh, and he can say, I respect them.
And
what an interesting answer.
Yeah, it's same.
All right.
They all say the same.
We have Baldy on the phone. Jack and Howard, the Jack and Howard Show. Every Wednesday at 4, Brian Baldinger joins us, our Odyssey NFL Insider. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart, Kroger, or grocery store. Baldy, how are we feeling?
I feel great, guys. I'm looking forward to tomorrow night's game and start of week 12 here.
So, ask you about the Eagles just in a general sense compared to the rest of the NFL. They're sort of like you can do tiers with players and you can do tiers with teams. The tiers with teams, just the top championship contenders. I think you have to put Kansas City in there. You would put Buffalo in there. You would put Detroit in there. Would you put the Eagles in that same tier with those teams? Would you even put those teams in that tier?
Yeah, I mean, Pittsburgh. Throw Pittsburgh in there. Maybe we'll see what the Ravens do against the Chargers this weekend. There's some teams that are really coming on right now. We'll see what Minnesota does to maybe stay at 9-2 and you know, what Green Bay does this weekend against San Francisco. The good teams are separating themselves, and that's what the Eagles have been doing over the last month and a half. They're separating themselves from, you know, teams that are contenders and teams that are pretenders right now.
Baldy, we talked a few, 2 weeks ago, I think. I think it was after Saquon's game with the most touches. And we were all talking about his touches per game and looking forward to next year. And you said it was a concern. They haven't really changed. Is there a certain point in the year where you just have to say as a team, look, we're going for it and let next year be next year? Or is it something that they still have to keep in their mind as the season moves forward?
That's hard. You know, it's a really good question. Because I feel like you got to go for it. Like, I feel like Saquon's going to win the rushing title. He probably is going to get 2,000 yards or close to it, total yards. I feel like, because that's what San Francisco dealt with this year. They went for it. And I was saying the same thing about McCaffrey last year at this time. And, you know, he's had a terrible offseason, and he really hadn't had a great two games so far. But they went for it. And, you know, they came within, you know, a couple yards of winning it. So I feel like you're on track. He's your best player. The team is built around his abilities right now. I say just go for it and the heck with next year.
Yeah, it's funny because I think that's where I done switched to as well, Baldy. A couple weeks ago, I'm like, yeah, we got to save Saquon. We got to limit his touches. I mean, my goodness, every time he touches the ball, you think he has a chance to break a big run. And quite frankly, I think he just energizes the whole team. I mean, that's the type of special player he's been this year. I think they actually feed off of him a little bit. Would you agree with that?
Totally, Ike. Totally. I mean, you know, you've been around Saquon. I mean, he's just a really level-headed kid. But you can see the talent level is just different than everybody else. Mm-hmm. His size, his movement, his breakaway speed, jumping backwards over people in the heat of a game. Like, his talent level is just different. You know, it's just there's, you know, I mean, AJ's got a talent level. And, you know, certain players in this league, through the history of the league, they just – move different, they look different. He's one of those guys. And, you know, if you go and you go, okay, well, when are we going to limit the touches? Because, like, he's ripping these runs off against New Orleans and Washington in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
But it's the touches that kind of get him to that point where he just feels it, he sees it, and then he explodes. You want to take those opportunities away and give them to Gainwell or give them to the rookie or, you know, let Jalen take them. Like, I don't know. Like, I don't want to turn down the chance for greatness by limiting his touches right now.
Yeah, I agree. You look at where this team is right now, Baldy. Four of the next five games, pretty tough. I'm leaving out the Carolina Panthers game. But you're talking about the Rams, the Ravens, the Steelers, and Washington one more time down there. Probably a tough stretch here. We're starting to think about the Eagles potentially getting that number one seed. How important, I know we're a long way away from that, but how important do you think that is to this team for the Eagles if we want to get to the Super Bowl? This stretch here will probably determine whether or not they get that number one seed.
Well, I think it's important to, you know, go through the gauntlet, to get tested, to go up against the best, you know, to take on the Steelers, you know, to take those teams on. Yeah. And you find out a lot more about your team in those games than if you do and you beat Jacksonville or you beat Cleveland right now. Mm-hmm. So I think it's really important to take the gauntlet on right here. It's set up perfectly. And, you know, the six-game win streak, is it a mirage? Is it real? You know, everybody's kind of, you know, gaslighting, you know, the rookies and the young players. That's all good. I mean, they've earned that. But now you're going to see, you know, a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. You know, you're going to see a championship-level defense at Pittsburgh. Like, mm-hmm. these are good tests for the team.
Yeah.
And, you know, regardless what your record is against them, I mean, I think they're going to win some of the games for sure. But even this weekend against the Rams, you know, that Kyren Williams is a great back.
Mm-hmm.
He really is. They put in the rookie center in last week. He ran the ball a lot better, you know, against Seattle. Last week in the win.
Mm-hmm.
You know, right now Stafford's got Nacua and Cooper Kupp back. And those guys are great route runners. They're great after the catch. Like, it's good for the secondary to see a Super Bowl-winning quarterback. To see a top-flight running back right now. I think the Eagles are a better team, but, you know, the Rams have four young defensive linemen that are really good players. Jared Verse doesn't look like a rookie. Braden Fitz is a good player. Kobe Turner, Byron Young, they're going to see a good, active defensive line. They go and run the ball down their throats. You're going to, you know, you come away on that long flight home feeling pretty good about where you're at right now.
Brian Baldinger with us. He's with us every Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Baldy, when you look at Super Bowl champions in the modern NFL, let's say last decade, almost all of them have high-level passing offenses. The Eagles are sort of mid-pack. How much do you think that limits them in the quest to actually win it all this year?
They've run it 98 more times than they've thrown it. They have the highest run percentage of any team in this league right now, and they're rolling. You could say that it's a great question because I think Jeffrey Lurie, Howie, I think some of them think like this is not the way to win Super Bowls, but it's a good way to win a lot of games.
Yeah.
Baltimore was a little bit like that last year, and then they got into a championship level game with Kansas City, and they couldn't throw it good enough to win it when they stopped running it. So you got to be able to do both. Right now, running is winning. Lane Johnson, like I said to you last week, said we just run and hit people, and that's really good because that's what they're good at. But I do kind of believe that if you want to shut down a team's running attack, there's ways to do it. And so then are you good enough to throw it to beat a good team in a shootout or otherwise? So ultimately the answer to the question is you have to be able to do both, and you can't get far away from one or the other. Every fan in this, that's a fan of the Eagles, if you come out throwing it against the Rams, they're gonna shout all the way to L.A. Go, what the hell are we doing? But I do think there's a time when you've got to be able to throw it, and you have to be able to throw it well, not just play action. You got to be able to drop back on third and long when you're behind in big games to win those games. So ultimately, you got to be able to do both.
All right, Baldy, we appreciate it, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Thank you, brother.
Look forward to it, guys. Enjoy the game.
There is Brian Baldinger, our Odyssey NFL insider, host of the Best Football Show podcast. Insider Call is brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day, be delicious.
That Baltimore, that's a great case study.
From last year.
Yeah, from last year. And it may wind up biting them again this year if their defense don't be the reason that they lose. But last year they actually had a good defense. I'm looking at Lamar's postseason numbers from last year. I mean, 212 yards passing per game. He played two games. He threw three touchdowns, one interception. And we know the interception he threw in the AFC Championship game. He also, I believe, got sacked a couple times and maybe fumbled. So he may have lost a couple fumbles as well in the postseason. In other words, I'm saying the passing game may have been what undid the Ravens. And they were the dominant team.
And they had Lamar Jackson.
And they had Lamar Jackson. Yeah. But his inability to be able to be effective in the passing game may have cost them in the end.
Howard Eskin joining us for the rest of the hour. We appreciate you being here.
King!
Mr. King.
I'm sure.
Yeah.
No. Dr. King?
Dr. King. What
King,
do you think?
King PhD.
King okay, PhD. Deep, yeah. Right. Dr. King, there's a different one of those.
Yeah.
He it's might not like, want to take that one.
It's like Doc Rivers not being Doc in Philadelphia.
Yeah. Well, there's like Martin Luther King was Dr. King. That was what I was referring
to. That was the joke.
Yeah. I know.
Yeah.
I know that.
Yeah, okay.
I knew that. I was just extending it even a little bit more.
Right.
That's good.
Well, what is your Eagles obviously playing well, 1-6 in a row, dominating rush-wise. Your concern, their ability to pass the ball to actually go all the way?
I do have a little bit of concern. I think Jalen Hurts is better this year. But I'm not sure it's good enough to win a Super Bowl. You know, you have to beat Detroit, so that's going to be a challenge. If you play them here, it's much better. They have, 14 games indoors. So it would be different for them to play outdoors. But, and Kellen Moore kind of, well, he didn't. He brought it up the other day, and I forget what the question was, but paraphrasing Kellen Moore, there's going to be games we're going to have to pass the ball. Because, you know, these teams aren't stupid. They're going to put a lot of guys in the box, and they're going to force Jalen Hurts to throw the ball. So there's going to be games, and he said that, there's going to be games where you have to pass the ball. And he's going to have to be better. You know, it's nice he's got good quarterback ratings, and that's all good, and he's better. But I don't know that you're going to win games throwing 20 passes a game. But what the running game does, and I can see what it's doing, it doesn't force Jalen Hurts to put the ball up in the air more, so it doesn't give him a chance to make a mistake or fumble the ball if he's going to do an RPO. So there really is a cause and effect here. Hey, Saquon Barkley's terrific.
Yeah.
But it really helps in protecting, I'll say. That might not be the right word. Jalen Hurts from turning the ball over.
Well,
that is the right word.
Yeah. Well, I think in a lot of ways, the way you put it, as great as Saquon is the argument why the MVP always ends up being the quarterback.
Right.
Now, it's a regular season award, and Saquon, I think, should be considered for it just like McCaffrey was.
Well, he was quick tush pushing.
Right. Well, it would certainly help his numbers. But it does. When it comes down to it, if that guy can't make the plays when you need to make the plays, how close do you think Hurts is to this is who he is, right? Like, in 3 years, how much of a different quarterback do you think Hurts would be?
Well, I saw him 2 years ago, and he was really good. So he's not back at that level yet. I'll say yet. So I think he can get better. And, you know, I don't remember all the different games 2 years ago, but he was better. He did a lot of things. I guess he went through his progressions a little bit better. He wasn't afraid to throw into tight windows. He saw the open receivers on time. I'll say on time, rather than like that interception in the end zone. Was it against the Cowboys?
Yeah.
If he threw it when he should have thrown it,
which
it
is just a second before. I mean, we're talking about split seconds, right?
I know. If he'd have thrown it when he was, it would have been a touchdown. But the reality is, he certainly has to be a little bit better. And that's why the quarterback really is the MVP of your team. If you don't have good quarterback play, it is very, very rare that you're going to win a Super Bowl. And that's why he's the MVP. I think Saquon Barkley's great, but I don't think he's the MVP of the league because the quarterback, I mean, Josh Allen right now, I think, is the MVP of the league.
He certainly put himself in
that spot. I mean, it's him and Jared Goff. Jared Goff is there, too.
Yeah, and I would put him right to 1 and 1A. You can flip him either way. But that's because they make it happen. And they generate. I mean, you saw the – and Josh Allen, it's amazing. I guess he's so big and strong is why he can keep on running without getting hurt. That 4th and 3, everybody's going for it on 4th down now. But what a big play that was. 4th and 3, not only did you get the first down, he gets the touchdown. So the quarterback in the NFL would always be considered the MVP. And as good as Saquon Barkley is, and he really is good, and he's a great teammate.
Well, the very fact that he's in the MVP conversation, and you're right, it's a quarterback award. So when a running back is in that conversation, that just shows you the type of year that running back is having.
When's the last time a running back won the MVP?
I think it was like 10 years
ago. Adrian Peterson.
Oh, it was, yeah.
I think he's the last one, yeah.
Yeah, I think it's been 10.
Was there not good quarterback play that year? I don't
know. Well, he broke the 2,000-yard rushing mark.
Okay, for the first time.
So, yeah.
And it's changed some, too. I mean, there. I'd have to look at it, but it's really over the last decade morphed into almost specifically a quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, since 2000, it was Sean Alexander in 05.
Yep.
LT in 06. LT won it, yep. 31 combined touchdowns. And then it was AP in 2012.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so you got to understand the quarterback is really such an essential part.
Well, you got to have a record-breaking year as a running back
to
really get it.
Yep. And I think it does matter how many games the Eagles win at this point, because I think it's going to raise their profile. And then if Josh Allen has a couple bad games and blah, 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 blah. But I do wonder what the Eagles think about, because the big question is what the Eagles think about Jalen Hurts, right? We can yap about it from now until whenever. Mm-hmm. I just at the end of the last segment, I asked everyone who they think is more likely to be with the Eagles at the start of the 26th season, Nick Sirianni or Jalen Hurts. What do you think is more likely?
Wow, that's a really tough question. I would say Jalen Hurts, and the reason I would say that is because you've got to get another quarterback
to replace this one.
Yeah, before you move on from this quarterback.
We got Kenny Pickett here.
Yeah, that guy.
You're kidding me, right?
He's kidding. He meant Tanner McKee.
Tanner McKee, I think that's who I really meant.
Yeah.
He's better than Kenny Pickett.
Yes, he is.
But he doesn't have the athleticism to run.
It's funny. You watch Pickett, and you're like, wait a minute. How did this guy go in the first round? Like, just your eyes.
He's got gloves on.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I don't know that both of them won't be here in 26, but if you have to choose.
Oh, they're going to be here. I pick both.
Yeah, he picked both. He's a both guy.
Well, yeah, no.
Both going to be here.
Well, that's cheating.
And I think both are going to be here because I think they'll continue to have success.
There we go.
Yeah, but if you don't win
a playoff game. If you have to pick one.
Well, listen, if they don't win a playoff game, we're blaming somebody.
Yes. Yeah.
Somebody's getting
and you got to have. You can replace a coach, but you can't replace the quarterback.
All right.
Easily.
You're telling me Jalen's irreplaceable?
But I think they're both good, and I agree that they'll probably both be here.
All right. All week at 4:30, we are giving away tickets to go see Linkin Park August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center, the return of Linkin Park. Tickets are available tomorrow, Ticketmaster.com at noon, but you can win them now. It's very, very simple. You call up 215-592-9494, and we are going to play you a clip of a Linkin Park song. When the clip ends, you have to sing the next line.
Howard will sing it as well.
Howard has to sing it as well.
Yes.
He's not going to sing
it.
Yeah, he wouldn't have a clue. But you have to sing that. You can't say the words of the next line. You have to sing it with your gut.
Yep.
You got to really sing it the way that we sing Creed. So 215-592-9494. Buzz will pick you up. We will play you the clip, and you have to sing the next line. Again, the show is August 16th at the Wells Fargo Center. 215-592-9494. This is Birds at the Half at Chickies and Pete's. Howard Eskin with us until 5 o'clock. Remember, tomorrow... Oh, no. I already said Elliot. Coming up at 6 o'clock today at Birds of the Half at Chickies and Pete's. Lane Johnson will be here to do some celebrity bartending. Mm. And the
Jordan
Mailata as well. Proceeds benefit the Travis Mannion Foundation. So that is at 6. This is the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. It's the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz. Birds of the Half happening right now at Chickies and Pete's in South Philly. Portion of proceeds of all crab fries sold today donated to the Travis Mannion Foundation. Now, before we give away or attempt to give away the Linkin Park tickets, We have a very special guest, Jeff Gordon, Live Nation president, has called us to actually upgrade these specific Lincoln Park tickets.
Wow.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
So what are you offering
here? My favorite program on the radio, let's be clear.
Yes.
Appreciate that.
Yes. Yes, sir.
So we will add VIP parking as well as green room access to the Live Nation backstage green room.
Wow. Now, that is...
That's pretty good.
That is good. And VIP parking, can I tell you...
That's probably most important.
...in a sold-out event is very important. I appreciate that. Am I also offered that if I go to the show, which I will be going to?
If you win, sure.
Ah!
No, I'm just kidding. Of course, come on. You guys are my brothers.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on. Well,
we appreciate that.
It goes without saying. Like, I always take care of you guys because I love you.
Well, We know we're the best show, but we appreciate that we are your favorite show.
Let's talk about the Eagles for a minute.
Okay. All right. You offer the green room access and the VIP parking. You can talk about the Eagles. What do you got?
Okay. They're an elite team. Elite.
Elite.
Yes.
Same class as top of the league.
Yes, sir.
Even giving the problems throwing the football.
They're an elite team.
Look, they can get there. They can absolutely get there. And depending on how the game goes, they can do it. But I did think it was Baldy bringing up that Kansas City Baltimore game last year.
Yeah.
Like that is the nightmare scenario. You come up with somebody who stops the running game and your quarterback has to. Where are you on Hurts?
I am 95% there.
Okay.
95% to where, though?
We all know the 5% is the hardest part.
It is. You know what? Watch these games. They're so close lately. You know what? And the refs are terrible, I think. Maybe the worst ever this year, in my opinion. Sorry, that sounds terrible, but that's how I feel. These games are so tight. So I think we're an elite team.
Well, I will know. I'll be able to say it after the next 2 weeks.
I mean, Ike, what do you think, Ike?
Yeah, listen, if the Lions are an elite team, we're an elite team.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I just that's just the way I look at it. I don't think there's a team that's head and shoulders above the Eagles. They may be better in some areas. I think we're better in a lot of areas than some other teams as well. So if we're going to put those teams in the elite category, why wouldn't the Eagles be in that elite category? It's only three teams, I believe, have won six or more games in a row this year. The Chiefs, the Lions, and the Eagles.
That's it.
Jeff, do you think the Lions are better than the Eagles?
Do I?
Yes, you.
Tough question?
I don't want to think that.
Okay.
So that means slightly yes.
Do I think Dan Campbell is a beast? Yes, I do. Do I think he's motivating this team better, above what their pay grade? Yes, I do. That's what we can do that.
They're a likable team.
Can you imagine Dan Campbell here?
Oh man, dude.
Boy.
Are you kidding me?
Oh boy.
Yeah, we'd fight about him a lot, but he'd be a hero. If they won, can you imagine?
If they won.
Yeah, if they won. Yeah. All right, Jeff, we got to give away these tickets. We got a bunch of people trying to win them.
Okay, win them, and also know that they get parking as well as hang out with me in our green room, all right?
Live Nation Green Room, VIP parking. We really appreciate you doing that. Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you, Jeff.
All right, see you guys. Appreciate it, brother. Love you.
All right. So, the show is August 16th, Wells Fargo Center.
Summer concert.
Yes. Tickets go on sale tomorrow at noon at Ticketmaster.com. Now, Mike and Claremont, you're first. Mike. Here's how it's going to go. We're going to play you a clip of a very popular Linkin Park song. When the clip ends, all you have to do is sing the next line. But you have to sing it, not just say the words. Are you prepared?
Yeah, I got it.
All right. Hit it, Buzz.
Turn your back like you always do. Face away and pretend that I'm not. But I'll be here because you're all that I got. I can't face the way I did before.
Don't turn your back on me. I won't be ignored.
He got it.
Boom.
Wow. He got
Boom.
It.
Wow.
He got it.
King, what'd you think about that singing?
Way to bring on some cool in the game.
Well done, Mike. I would say your singing was a 6 out of 10.
But he went for it.
But you went for it. You got the words right.
Full send.
So not only do you have the tickets to the show, thanks to our friend Jeff Gordon over at Live Nation. You're going to get VIP parking and access to the Live Nation green room at the show. So,
that's awesome.
Congratulations, man.
Man, nailed it. First caller.
Yeah, first caller. Appreciate you, Mike. I'm going to put you on hold. Buzz will get your info, and we'll contact you about the tickets.
Man, I feel bad for all the other callers.
I know.
Well, we have tickets tomorrow at 4:30 and then Friday at 4:30 as well.
You don't really feel bad. You just say you feel bad.
Well, that's Ike's thing. Everybody, that's why everybody likes him.
Welcome to the show, Ken.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just trying to keep it real for real.
Yeah, I hear you.
Yeah. Keep it real. Keep it real.
I do feel bad, though. We had a whole line of people there waiting to do this.
We did.
And we got, I mean, the first caller got the tickets.
Yeah. Okay. Well, he went for it. And they can try tomorrow.
It works, yeah.
They can try tomorrow.
What's the what we used to do, Jack? The envelope.
In the envelope?
Yeah.
In the envelope.
I mean, that made me lose faith in our society.
Yeah.
Every single day.
Well, in the envelope is less of a skill thing and more of a just paying attention.
If you're calling, you really know Linkin Park.
Yes.
No, you're right, because we've only had, we had one person who didn't get it.
The guy screwed it up yesterday. Yeah. All right. So we have a very big moment. Because every Wednesday at 4:30, we do Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings. Buzz, hit the music.
Eagles Insider of the Year Power Rankings.
So we give these power rankings every week.
Yep.
Last week, the power rankings, number 5, John Clark. Number 4, the newspaper reporter. Number 3, LeSean McCoy. Number 2, Ike Reese. Number 1, L.A. Shore Parks. Now, not in
Sounds
there.
Sounds like a good list.
Yeah, not in there was the person who is with us for the rest of the hour, a legendary Eagles insider who has recused himself.
Correct.
That is Howard Esper.
Yeah, I've recused my, because it wouldn't be fair to the other people.
Well, so that's why we have...
We seem to be holding up pretty well. What do you mean?
Yeah,
We're about even. What have you done that I haven't done?
Oh, boy.
I don't even know that what you said is correct.
But he got one right. He did. So we have
I got one right.
Well, you got the Mekhi Becton one right.
Yeah, well, I tell you. Well, and Ike did say Saquon Barkley first.
He did.
I did.
But that was before the power rankings began. And
I don't want to. I can't say what you mean about him coming here.
Yeah.
He wanted him. He didn't know he was coming here.
We give you credit for Kellen Moore.
You didn't say it. You didn't say it on the air. I did.
Wait a minute. I got reprimanded for it.
Oh, here we go. They're always reprimanding you, allegedly.
Who reprimanded you? The Eagles?
I'm not going to talk about it.
Well, you can't be reprimanded by the Eagles.
Yeah,
you don't work for
them.
That's a fair point.
Right. Okay, but here's the point. The Eagles Insider of the Year is a very...
We're going to put you in a blender for the next 20 minutes.
Yeah. The Eagles Insider of the Year...
Oh, don't do that, because I can blend just as well as the others.
All right.
You're kind of playing checkers. Everyone else playing chess.
Well, okay. Here's the thing.
Go ahead, Spike.
We're going to ruin it by fighting about it. Okay.
No. I don't want to get into it.
Well, but okay. But all right. We have an offer for you. So you have recused yourself. However, we are the ones who decide on the power rankings. Why can't I hear myself anymore?
No, we still
Damn it,
you.
Dave.
I can hear you.
Well, I need to hear myself.
Unfortunately.
Okay. So... We've been including you in and out of the power rankings, whether you recuse yourself or not. You're an Eagles insider. But because you are so legendary in the Eagles Insider of the Year world, we would like to make you Eagles Insider Emeritus and become one of the panel of voting on Eagles Insider of the Year. So every week, you will have to give credit to the insiders who do a good job, which I know will be difficult for you, but you all have to punish those who do a bad job. So we would like you to be part of the panel who, because you have recused yourself, part of the panel who decides on the first ever Eagles Insider of the Year.
You know what? I would do that. And here's the thing. One guy's not going to like it.
I
heard Elliot say he's got all the information.
This is what we
want. I don't know how many times he was actually right.
I think it's zero, right?
You know what, Jack? You're right for a change.
He did say the Eagles could trade Carson Wentz before anybody else did.
That was a thought.
You know what?
And I
could run a 4-minute mile. I mean, give me a break.
Well, one thing happened. One thing's not going to happen.
Well, you say things. It's like people say things, and in today's world, a broken clock's right twice a day.
Oh, boy.
So, something could happen. Mm-hmm. I mean, Elliot's the guy that told me the other day
that
Daryl Morey is a Hall of Famer.
He is a Hall of Famer.
No, he's not.
Okay. I'll bet you $1,000.
Okay, I'll bet you $2,000. I'll double it.
Oh, look at this.
Okay, so your 2,000 versus my 1,000?
Yes.
Give me 2-1 odds.
Yes.
Okay, all right. You know you can never collect on this unless he dies before we do. I can only collect on this.
Well,
he can only make the Hall of Fame.
We can only hope he gets fired.
Oh, all right. So, amazing. You turned this into a Daryl Morey thing. We were doing something nice.
No, but I'm just saying.
We were making you the most legendary Eagles insider.
I know, and I'm just saying that Elliot and Jack, you know, backed me up on it. It's not right.
Of course.
Oh, you take. But that's. We're talking about Eagles insider, not whether Elliot thinks Daryl Morey is a Hall of Famer.
I just threw something else into the mix.
You know what?
I'm going to throw something else in now because I was
going
to wait.
Well.
I'm going to wait till the end. I was going to wait till the end of the show. I've got an apology.
Okay.
I really do, and you know it's.
This is going to be sarcastic.
No, it's just going to be real. You know, it's hard to apologize, but I tried to bring you up the right way, and I worked harder, and your mother did a great job too. You know, and she was.
Way to give her credit.
She was a star too, but
star.
I tried, and you know sometimes I just got to just pass it on and say, you'll figure it out yourself. But apparently, you didn't. So I apologize that I didn't do a better job. I mean, that's an apology because I wanted you to be. You know, everybody wants their kids to be successful. And I'm serious about that.
Okay,
he's pretty successful.
Yeah, he's doing well.
Well, no, and he's done it.
So, what are you apologizing for?
For being so out of touch.
Yeah,
he didn't do a good enough job.
Yeah,
so out of touch. And sometimes you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold them. In the words of Kenny Rogers.
Okay, all right. So you're talking about the Sixers. So all right,
you figured that out.
Okay, so well, nobody else could.
Here we go.
So you're right. Here we go. I'm going to do something you've actually never done. You were right about Joel Embiid's practice habits, and you were right about him being late, and you were right about him being overweight. You were right about all those things. You were right, and I was wrong. The problem that I have with you on it is that it all goes back 10 years to a GM who is not here anymore, and you have actively cheered against them. So you've cheered against the success of the Philadelphia 76ers. And I'll add this. You, when they fired Sam and you threw a parade for it, you said, and this is a quote, they finally hired a basketball guy in Brian Colangelo. And you were wrong. And then when
a basketball guy,
but he did a bad job. He did a bad. Just say it out loud, Brian Colangelo.
He didn't do a good enough job.
He was terrible.
He did a bad job.
Okay.
He drafted. Hold on. He traded up for Markel Fultz. He wasted multiple first round picks.
He drafted Ben Simmons.
He held on to Jahlil Okafor and Nerlens Noah way too long to when they didn't have trade value anymore. And then he was talking trash about his own players on Twitter under a burner account. I think it is fair.
Yeah,
see, so if I can say I was wrong about Embiid, you can certainly say you were wrong about Brian Colangelo.
Okay, let me address it this way.
All right.
See?
We're not going to have the conversation.
The guy that he replaced tried to lose, so he had to do a better job than him.
Again, Brian Colangelo did. They had 100
draft picks.
He didn't
do a good enough job.
No, he did a bad job. Just say he did a bad job.
It's okay, Howard.
Brian Colangelo is one of the worst general managers in the history of sports in this town.
He won the Executive of the Year, I think.
What is going on?
Yeah, he won the Executive of the Year, I think, didn't he? With Toronto?
Well, Daryl Morey's won that.
Yeah, Daryl Morey's
won. He has?
Yes.
What, for the G League or for the NBA?
See, just say I was wrong, Brian Colangelo.
Okay, I was wrong.
Okay. Then when they hired Elton Brand, you supported that. Elton Brand then traded three first-round picks for Tobias Harris and signed him to a 5-year maximum contract. Were you wrong? Now, I love Elton, and I think Elton's good in his role, but were you wrong about the job that Elton Brand was going
to
do?
There's a backstory to that.
See.
They wouldn't let one. I mean, if you want to listen.
Did Elton do it?
Okay, yes. He wanted to trade Simmons, and he wasn't allowed to by the ownership.
Okay.
Okay, so then when.
That's a plus right there, the fact that he wanted to trade him.
Yeah.
That's a plus.
But he wanted to trade him, but he wasn't allowed, he wasn't permitted to because they thought.
And then he traded for Tobias, and he gave Al Horford $100 million.
Well, and Al Horford's playing great right now.
Okay, but he gave Al Horford $100 million when he plays center.
Okay, I get all that. I understand all that. But Elton
Were those
Brand,
good moves?
Elton Brand was restricted by ownership to do certain things, so it's not all his fault.
I didn't say it was all his fault. Okay. Did he do a good job?
I thought he did an average job.
He did a bad job.
Well, he couldn't. He wanted to keep Jimmy Butler, but they wouldn't get rid of Simmons. And they would have been a better team with Jimmy Butler. He wanted Jimmy Butler.
Okay. Yet. So you haven't been able to say that Brian Colangelo did a bad job. You haven't been able to say that Tobias Harris
did
a bad job.
Okay.
All right. So do you see why, given all of these things, and you're cheering against the team, that it is so problematic?
Wait a minute, but I was rooting for Elton Brand. So
you were rooting for Elton Brand because you like him.
No, I was rooting for Elton Brand because I thought he was a good basketball guy.
You're rooting for him because you like him.
No, because I thought he was a good basketball guy.
All right.
Birds of the bye, baby.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm rescinding your Eagles Insider Emeritus status. You're back.
No, I think that's good.
No, you're back in the Gen Pop. We tried to do something nice for you. You couldn't handle it.
But you can't accept
You couldn't handle it. I said you were right. What do you want out of me?
No, but you... But
do you want me to grovel? Oh,
well, no,
I'm so sorry, Howard.
No,
I was wrong about a basketball player.
No, I was trying to explain what happened with Elton Brand.
No, it took 10 minutes for you to say Brian Colangelo, the worst general manager in the history of the team, did a bad job.
It did take 10 minutes because we would have been done and I would have been out of here, thank God.
All right, then go. We're done with you. Go.
Hey, this is in front of
company. Can't handle the truth.
This is in front of company, everybody.
We were trying to do a good show, do a nice thing, and you couldn't handle it. Nope. You couldn't handle it because you're not an adult.
Does this mean you're not on the panel?
He's not on the panel.
Oh, God.
Hold on.
He's not on the panel.
That was a good bit.
You guys can outvote me if you want. There's only three people.
Well, we're definitely outvoting you.
All right, there you go.
We're keeping him on the panel.
There he's on the panel.
Yes.
Joining us now is a far more influential, friendly, polite, accomplished Ryan Mannion of the Travis Mannion Foundation. I appreciate you joining us today.
I mean, my dad's out here in the audience. I don't know if we need to bring him up so we can start fighting back.
Does it go the same way?
Sometimes it does.
When you try to do something nice to him, does he just rip you in front of thousands of people?
Often. Okay. Often. I'm just kidding.
Well, we appreciate you joining us today and the event today. We're very proud to... you know, when I worked for WPHT years ago, we did things with the Travis Mannion Foundation, and now I'm so proud that WIP does stuff as well. So, and you're doing such great work. Can you, you know, for every time that you're on and every time that we do something, there's somebody who doesn't know what you do and doesn't know where it comes from, and you tell that story better than anybody. So could you tell the story of the foundation, why it came to be, and then what the mission is?
Absolutely. So, you know, the Travis Mannion Foundation was created in 2007. My brother, Travis Mannion, was a first lieutenant in the Marine Corps, killed on his second tour of duty. And, you know, we started the Travis Mannion Foundation, and originally it was a small local veteran nonprofit operating here in the Philadelphia area. And I really say that it's because of the people in the Philadelphia and surrounding area that helped to catapult our mission to today. We are now one of the nation's leading veteran service organizations, supporting veterans nationwide and families of the fallen, making sure that we are giving them the tools they need to move forward when they take off the uniform. And, you know, for us, Odyssey played such a huge role in that, because the support that we got from WPHT, from WIP in the beginning to get the word out about the work we were doing. Like, I can't speak enough about how important that was to our mission.
You must be so proud to see it. Nonprofit is hard. My wife works in nonprofit.
Yeah.
Because it's a lot of unanswered emails, unanswered phone calls, asking people for things when they're not getting something, quote unquote, back. So you must be so proud to see the momentum build, because once you hit a certain threshold and the awareness hits a certain point, it almost like snowballs to a certain extent, I would imagine.
Yeah, and I think, you know, for us, it kind of gets back to this idea, and that's why we love our partnership with WIP and the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, the beauty of our mission rests within five words: if not me, then who? And those were the five words that my brother spoke before he left for his second tour of duty, when he was asked why he had to go back. And those five words were spoken when he was walking out of Lincoln Financial Field after leaving an Eagles game. And so for us, you know, those five words have really created a movement across this country. And I think people respond to that, and they respond to this idea of how can I get involved, how can I play a role, and how can I support the men and women who put their lives on the line for us every single day.
Can you tell us a little bit about your brother, Travis, what he was like as a brother, as a sports fan? It sounds like he was an Eagles fan.
He was a diehard Eagles fan.
I didn't want to assume that, but I kind of threw that out there. But yeah.
Not only was he a diehard Eagles fan, he was a very typical Eagles fan. Okay. You know, he was unapologetic when they were playing bad, and cheering them on when they were doing good. You know, my family's had season tickets to the Eagles since Veterans Stadium, so grew up with Philadelphia sports in our blood. And my brother was an incredible athlete himself. Okay. He went to LaSalle College High School. He was a three-sport all-star, playing lacrosse, football, and wrestling. Went on to wrestle at the Naval Academy. He was an all-American wrestler. Okay. And so, you know, just being a part and being connected to the Eagles in this way, he would be thrilled.
Older or younger brother?
Younger by 15 months.
Okay.
So Irish twins, as they call it.
So given, you know, given his love for the Eagles and this sort of all tying into one, having Lane Johnson associated with the foundation, how did that happen? And then how has his advocacy helped out the foundation as well?
Yeah, so for us, it was really kind of cool because Lane actually approached us. And
oh, wow, really?
Lane wanted to do something to support the military community. And one of the things we helped him to do is last year, during the last season, we connected him with Families of the Fallen before every away game, because that's the community in which we live in. And so we were able to, and the night before the Eagles games, away games, he was going and sitting down and having dinner with families who had lost their loved ones in service to this country. And he did it quietly. It wasn't something he advertised. He wanted to give back. And, you know, we were proud to be the charity that he picked last year when he was nominated for the Walter Payton Manning of the Year. And we're honored this year for the Salute to Service. He's the nominee this year, and he has chosen us once again to be his charity of choice. So it's been incredible to see how much he appreciates what the military community does, and frankly, because it affords him to do what he does.
Yeah.
Right. And it always does go back to, if not me, then who, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we had Lane on the show yesterday. He has this platform, right? He has this ability to do it, and there's a lot of people who do not do anything with that. So for him to step up and do it, means a lot. By the way, if you're at Chickies right now, there's a QR code floating around where you can vote for Lane for the Salute to Service Award.
Make sure we do that. Yeah, vote for Lane Johnson.
And if you go to 94WIP.com, we have the link right there. So, you know, I appreciate what you do. The vets that come back from serving and the families of vets, you know, it is a traumatic experience to serve. I think it's rewarding in a lot of ways, but a lot of times vets come back and they don't know where to find their place in the world, because the military gives you a very, very specific place and mission. But when you come back, they don't always have that. So, and then the families who have lost loved ones, you know, filling, you'll never fill that space, but dealing with that and finding community is so important. And you sort of connect all of those dots, and the foundation's doing a great thing.
I mean, that is essentially what the Travis Manion Foundation is. We are a community, and you hit on the biggest piece. You know, when our men and women take off the uniform, one of the biggest things they're dealing with is they're disconnected. They feel disconnected from community. They lose their sense of purpose, and they lose that sense of being a part of something bigger than themselves. And for those of us that don't serve, we don't always know what that is, but it's super crucial. And when that goes away, a part of their identity goes away. And so for us at the Travis Manion Foundation, we make sure that we give our veterans, as they take off the uniform, continued ways to serve their country. And it's a simple methodology, but it works. Giving veterans continued ways to serve is perhaps the most important thing we can do for their mental health.
Well, we are very proud of the association with the foundation, and we're so happy Lane is part of it too. And I appreciate you being here and spending time with us. And again, vote for Lane for the Salute to Service Award. And did you have one more thing?
Yeah, right? I was going to say, listen, we'll be here. Celebrity bartending as well tonight.
Ike's a great bartender. Give him complicated orders.
Yeah, heavy hand. Make sure you come see me. And I'm sorry about that, Pete. But, yeah, we're going to give away a lot of liquor tonight, buddy.
Pete's fine.
Well, listen, that's the way we get to get more donations as well. So,
yes, that's right.
Yes. Is there a target number we're trying to hit tonight that we can sort of
I don't know if we put a target number. I mean, let's throw one out there. I'm thinking like $10,000.
There we go.
Good,
that'd be good.
We're going $10,000 tonight.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
$10,000. All right.
And Lane Johnson will be here, celebrity bartending as well. Jordan Mailata will be here. And that is from 6 to 8 here at Chickies and Pete's at Packer Ave in South Philly.
Yeah.
Thank you, Ryan. We appreciate
you. Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks so much.
Yes, thank you.
So coming up next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz, a guy who's never served anyone in his life, Joe DiCamera, will join us for an hour.
Hasn't even worked out.
Yeah, and the top 5 of 5 is DiCamera related?
It's DiCamera related.
Oh, wow.
There you
of course
go.
It is. As long as he's here.
Yeah, he'll
he's
be
not
here.
Ducking the top 5.
Oh, he'll be here.
He'll be here. We'll
he's
do it without him.
He's sitting in the parking lot right now.
Let me tell you, we do it without him. It's going to be a lot worse than
exactly
if he's here.
Exactly right.
So that is next on the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.